away to a new life. The 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, as adapted from AA, are the basis of our recovery program. We have only broadened their perspective. We follow the same path, with a single exception. Our identification as addicts is all inclusive in respect to any mood changing, mind altering substance. Alcoholism is too limited a term for us. Our program is not a specific substance. Our problem is not a specific substance. It is a disease called addiction. We believe that as a fellowship, we have been guided by a greater consciousness and are grateful for the direction that has enabled us to build upon an already proven program of recovery.
Thank you.
Thanks for reading.
Thanks to everybody for reading. And at this time, I'd like to introduce our speaker, Juliet from Central Maryland.
I'm Julie and I'm an addict. And my clean date is September 9th, 1988. I have a home group and I have home group members here to support me because I don't do this thing alone. You know, none of us do, but I know I don't do this thing alone. You know, my first meeting became my home group, you know, and my first meeting, I didn't know I was an addict. I just knew that I was hurting and I wanted to kill myself every day, and I didn't want to live like this anymore. And I had just had a child 3 weeks before that, and I just wanted my life to change. And I'm a pretty smart addict, or I thought I was a smart addict anyway. And I thought I knew everything, and I didn't, you know. I'm one of these addicts that I was an addict way before I picked up drugs and alcohol. You know, my first drug was candy. You know, I loved candy. My mother didn't allow me to have candy. And I would go to any lengths to get that candy. You know, at one time, my next door neighbor was a boy, and I told him that that he had an uncircumcised thing, and we could make a lot of money if he showed it to my friend.
Woo! There you go.
And it took me a while to convince him, but I did. And we made a lot of money. And everything was cool till the teacher called up my mother. And then, you know, hit the fan. And I got home from school, and my mother said, "Why aren't you like the rest of my children?" And I didn't have an answer for her, and I didn't have an answer for her for a really, really long time. But the answer is, I'm an addict.
That's
you know, I want more. I want more of that. And, you know, that's my disease. That's the core of my disease right there. But I didn't know it at that time, you know. And my second drug of choice was anger and fighting. You know, if you did something that I didn't like, I'd earmark you and beat you up on the at recess. You know, that was it. You know, so you know, I just was pretty antisocial from the beginning. You know, and I lived in a neighborhood where people called us communists, and people outside the neighborhood didn't know what we were about. So that was another, you know, we all stuck together and fought everybody else. You know, it was crazy. But anyway, I grew up, I went to high school, I went to college, I did all that, and through that thing I picked up. You know, I picked up drugs, I picked up alcohol, I picked up all that stuff. I picked up a boyfriend. I got married. I had some kids, you know, and through it all, alcohol and drugs was a part of that, you know. And my life just, like they said, my life went progressively down and progressively worse. But I always had, you know, bright ideas. I was going to do this or do that or switch up the combination and everything was going to be all right. But when I got to the doors of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I was fresh out of ideas, you know. I always had a God in my life, but my God, you know, when I asked God for help, it would always be, God, I need help with this, and this is how I want you to do it. You know, I always had a plan. I always knew what he should do for me, and if he didn't do it for me, I was pissed off, you know. And when I got to the doors of Narcotics Anonymous, I was fresh out of ideas, and I didn't want anybody to talk to me. I didn't really want, you know, you to touch me. I didn't want any hugs. I didn't want any of that. I just wanted to feel better, you know. So even pre, you know, my step zero was going to churches, standing in the back, saying, God, please help me, and then leaving before everybody got out of church so they wouldn't touch me. And I did 3 weeks of that, and I landed in my first meeting. And, you know, God was with me all along, you know, he really was. And I got to my first meeting, and, you know, I had this boyfriend, the father of my child, and he really had a problem. I just had a little problem, you know, not too big at all, but he had a giant problem, you know. His problem came with physical addiction, and mine didn't. So he had a big problem, and we went to the meeting, you know, both of us. And we went out in the parking lot and sat in the car, and he said, well, you know, we have two kids. We can't do this every night. And I said, watch me. Because, you know, I was one of those rebellious addicts, too, you know. If you said no, I'd say, watch me. You know, I can do this thing. And so, you know, I just decided that I was going to be the best example that he had ever seen how to work Narcotics Anonymous, and he was going to get clean, and we were going to head off into the sunset together. Yes. You know, that was the plan. You know, so, you know, I listened to you all, and you all said 90 meetings in 90 days. So, and getting you as a sponsor. So I got a sponsor. I started going to meetings. I started calling this sponsor, and God bless this woman that was my sponsor. You know, I called her every day. I talked to her for about an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, all the problems I was having, all this stuff, and she listened to me. She listened to me. You know, she didn't complain about it, and I did that. I did that for the 90 days. And something happened in those 90 days, you know. And what happened was I started wanting to go to meetings for myself and stop being an example for somebody else. Because people were telling me things, you know. They were saying, you know, you're powerless over other people. Just like you're powerless over your addiction. You're powerless over your over other people. You can't make somebody get clean, you know. And I started seeing, you know, evidence of that. And you know, my prayer life changed. You know, when I first got here, all I said was, God, please help me. And at the end of the day, I thanked him for keeping me clean, you know. And it worked for me. And you know, about I don't know, 6 months, my prayer life changed, you know. Rather than, you know, God, please help me and get this man clean, I started praying for God to reveal the truth to me. And about 9 months clean, I came home and he had a spike in his arm. And what you all got to understand is, you know, like, when we get clean and when we're using and when we're new, you know, life isn't perfect, you know. I had this, like, relationship with this man where, you know, I'd slap him around, he'd slap me around. We'd say, you know, get out of here, fuck you, all that kind of stuff. And then 3 days later, you say, oh, honey, come back. You know, I really love you. You know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that had been going on for 9 months, you know. And I came home, and he had a spike in his arm. And I said to him very, very quietly, I said, you know, this isn't working for me. And he said, I know it's not for me either. And he got up, and we hugged each other, and he left. You know, and that was something new. That was powerful. That was a God working in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was going to meetings, and as I was going to meetings, I met friends. I met Debbie over here. I met Raymond over here. And, you know, we've been friends ever since, you know. I was always one of those people that moved around a lot, you know. I was your friend for 6 months, and then I hugged you and said, oh, we'll keep in touch, you know, I love you and everything. And as soon as I moved, I was gone, and I never heard from you again, you know. And to me, it's a big deal to have friends. It's a big deal to have somebody that I've known for a long time. It's a big deal to have somebody say, you know, I think you're being a little self-centered. What do you think about that? And for me to look at it, you know. Before I got here, I'd be like, oh, hell with you, you know, and give them the bird and keep on going, you know. That was my MO. And that's not how it is today. That's not how it is today, you know. I have true friends, and my friends tell me when my shit is stinking, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not perfect. I've been in this program for a long time, but I'm not perfect, you know. And I still have stuff happen to me, you know. I thought that once you got clean, everything was supposed to be perfect, you know. I thought, you know, everything was going to be just hunky-dory, and it's not, you know. But I keep on plugging at it, and I keep on putting one foot in front of the other, and things get better, you know. This year has been a really hard year for me. My husband has Hep C, and he's really, really ill, you know. And the issues that I have with that are not that he's ill. What my fears are is that he's not going to very many meetings because he doesn't feel well. And I have a fear of that, you know? I want to act out on that fear and say, listen, motherfucker, you don't go to meetings, you're going to use. You know? And that's none of my business in a way. It's none of my business. You know? So I just need to, you know, stay prayed up and let God do his job and not interfere. And I have a hard time with that. You know, I have a hard time letting God be God because I want to get in there and control everything. You know, I had somebody, you know, I'm a professional. I work in a hospital setting. You know, I have a degree, and I'm not saying that to put myself on a pedestal, be better than anybody, but today I have some integrity, and I have some, you know, feelings for other people, and feelings about doing a good job. And I had somebody call up my work and tell my work that I had hepatitis C and I was deliberately cutting myself and infecting patients. You know, and it was, it's difficult. And it's somebody that I know, you know, and me being who I am, you know, I wanted to get in my car, go over to her house, and whip her ass. You know, that was my first response. I'm telling you, that was my first response. But for real, what has happened to me in this program is I've gotten a moment to think about what I'm going to do. And in that moment, you know, I know she's a suffering addict just like me, you know, and for whatever reason she did that, It's not my place to say why she did it. My place is to do what I can to like damage control. You know, and it was embarrassing and humiliating. I had to face my managers. I had to do all that. Plus, I work in a place where everybody gossips. I'm telling you. You know, you go in the office and they know what it's about before you're touching the doorknob to come out. So I had to say, what are you going to do about this? And what I decided to do is I was going to open the door, I was going to go in the lounge, I was going to look for the person that I know gossips the most and say, you know what happened to me? And tell them the story. And you know what happened? All those people at my job, they knew because I told them. And it wasn't really very good, juicy gossip at that point, so nobody talked about it, you know? And it wasn't that hard. And I kept on coming back to you all and saying, what should I do? Or thinking about it, saying, you know, how am I going to be an example for somebody else that has to go through this? You know, and when I looked at it like that, it wasn't that bad, you know? So the most humiliating, awful thing happened to me, but I lived through it, and it wasn't that bad. And the reason it wasn't that bad is because I have all of you, you know? And I'm one of those people that if you don't tell me what I want to hear, I'll go to you, or I'll go to you, or I'll go to you till I hear what I want to hear, and then, you know, I'll follow that advice. And when I got here, you know, I was going to another fellowship and this fellowship, and I was getting confused and kind of, you know, following Julie's program. And when I had about 9 months clean, I made a decision. And I made a decision that my addiction covered a whole lot more than drugs and alcohol, and that I was going to stick and stay and maybe listen to one person. And I did that, and it's been working for me. You know, like I said, this thing happened to me this year, and you know, what I'm praying for right now is that this person gets some relief from their addiction, and I'm trying to pray myself up so when they walk through the doors, I can open my arms and say, welcome, you're in the right place. Because somebody did that for me, you know, and I want to be there for somebody else. You know, that's how this thing works. You know, somebody did it for me. I'm going to do it for somebody else. I got a sponsee over here, Cheryl, you know.
Cheryl.
And, you know, we got to pass it on. You know, my sponsor is down here at this convention, you know. And I believe in the process of Narcotics Anonymous. How long do I have to talk? I'm going to start lying pretty soon.
You've only talked for 15 minutes.
Well, somebody help me out here. Does somebody have something to say? Can somebody else talk? Does anybody want to share anything? Raymond, you know how to talk.
Called you out.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
What is this, a microphone?
Yes, it's a microphone.
Oh my goodness.
You don't have to use it.
My first thing with a microphone. Hi everybody.
He needs it.
Come on, Ray. Everybody, my name is Ray and I'm
Hey Ray. Thank you, babe.